Sexual harassment and gender discrimination have been met with a grassroots response in the Me Too moment. In this climate, WNYC is presenting Beyond Me Too, 4 one-hour conversations focused on what we need to do as a society to remedy widespread sexual harassment. The four-part broadcast will cover the workplace, corrective responses, how we are raising and educating our children in this environment, and how men can play a role in the solution. The guests and their perspectives will be extremely broad and diverse. Listeners can expect to hear from teens and parents, politicians and artists, corporate leaders, and blue-collar workers. The series will air from January 23rd through the 26th. That's next Tuesday through Friday at the 11 a.m. during the 11 a.m. hour of the roundtable next week. Jamie Floyd is a host at WNYC, and she is here with us this morning to give us a preview of the project. Jamie, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. So let me start with how this all came about. I should note you're going to be hosting the first hour of this series. So at what point did this become an idea and something that an entire NYC group got together and wanted to pursue?
Well, we have, of course, been talking about Me Too since Weinstein in October, the Harvey Weinstein avalanche. It was just October. It feels like years, doesn't it, Joe?
It does.
But we've started to feel a bit stuck, and so we want to move, as we're saying, beyond Me Too. And I should say, Joe, the first night is actually Monday the 22nd. So I will host that first night, and as you say, we're going to have a series of conversations, and that first night will be about the workplace. And this conversation in the workplace, how do we evolve the workplace? How do we move forward in the workplace beyond Me Too? And then, as you suggest, we're going to talk about men and their role in this conversation, family, how we talk about this in the family setting with our children, with our spouses, our partners, even our parents, because we hope some young people will be listening, and the correction. What is the correction of the problem? That'll be the final episode. And we will be taking calls. We want this to be an interactive national conversation.
Now, as far as the event and looking at in this four-part series, as you're putting this together, it certainly is no secret that WNYC, like many organizations, and of course NPR is a larger organization, has been hit by many of these allegations and has had great concern over these. Does that have an impact in how you put this together? Because it really does bring it to light in your day-to-day work environment.
Well, we already had a special here at WNYC back in December about our own, we called it a reckoning in our own house. In fact, I co-hosted that with Brian Lehrer and Brooke Gladstone. Brian Lehrer is going to be one of the hosts of this Beyond Me Too series. And transparency, Joe, is one of the, I think, keys to moving Beyond Me Too. So we have been transparent as possible here at WNYC. We have reporters on the story. We do have a firewall between the reporters and editors working on the story and the rest of the building, so they are independently covering the story. And you know, of course, as you mentioned, other media organizations, NPR and others, commercial networks and print organizations going through this moment. There's hardly an institution, Joe, that has not been touched or will not be touched by this, because sexual harassment, misconduct, and even assault is so replete in our culture. You know, you watch old movies, you watch old television shows. Watch Mary Tyler Moore. You know, we talked about that recently on my show. It's just so much a part of who we are as a society that it's hard to find a place that hasn't been touched by it. But yes, we are going to talk about that during the series, our own reckoning here at WNYC, and we'll continue to talk about it here at the station.
Give me a sense of how, because right now, as you say, it seems like forever that we've been dealing with this, and yet it's only been a few short weeks. And when you have somebody like Catherine Deneuve come out and writes a letter saying that the Me Too movement has gone too far, she is now walking back some of that and is apologizing to victims of sexual harassment, although she does stand by what she writes. Does that indicate that we're in a bit of a backlash in some way of this?
Yeah, well, we are going to welcome all perspectives when we invite calls to the programs. And there are those who are concerned about a backlash as each day brings new allegations across industries and workplaces. And you are right, she is walking back a little bit of what she said, though standing by her original statement in that public letter. Of course, that's France, and the culture in France is a bit different from ours here. We are going to have a segment, Joe, on men and what men can do as part of this conversation. A whole hour on men, hosted by Kai Wright, who is one of our editors here in the newsroom. And I do think we have to try to have this conversation in a it's very difficult. It's very difficult because there's so much pain. There's so much anger. We're still, I think, as a nation, you know, when you think about those stages of grief people talk about when someone dies, we're kind of going through those stages of grief as a nation. And we're in the early stages of loss and anger and pain. But I think we have to try to have respectful, dignified, open, honest conversations. And that has to include the men. We can't move forward if we don't move forward together. And so we're going to try to do that in this series, and that is why we are going to have a whole hour about the men and their role in this conversation. And we have to remember some of the victims have been men in this Me Too moment. So, yes, there is concern about a backlash, and we are going to talk about that, not so much in my hour on the workplace, but in the hour on correcting the problem and in the hour on men. But we do have to address that, and I do think we have to be concerned about false accusations and the presumption of innocence, which is embedded in our Constitution. That's very much a part of who we are as a society, and we can't forget that even as we respect victims coming forward.
Talk a little bit about your hour and about the workplace and the focus on both corporate America as well as blue-collar workers.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you asked. So we're going to open the hour with Suzanne Goldberg, who is an expert at Columbia University on sexual discrimination, misconduct, and harassment. And she's going to lay out the range of accusations. You know, we've been flooded with this avalanche since October, and even before, if you go back to Bill Cosby, and I mean, we could go back decades if we wanted to, but, you know, starting in October, every day, new allegations, and, you know, the person who exposes himself in the workplace is lumped in with the person who is accused of serial rape. And so she's going to break down the range of accusations, the consequences that can be applied, the distinction between harassment in the workplace and criminal liability in court. We're going to start there. And then we are going to talk, I'm so glad you asked about restaurant workers, hotel workers, the people who haven't really had their moment yet because we've been focused so much on the red carpet and the Golden Globes and Harvey Weinstein's victims. And all of that is critically important. And I give a big shout out to these powerful women they have so much to lose by speaking out. But now we do want to start turning our attention to the Me Too moment that is not as glorified and as glamorous, and the women who are behind the scenes. And so we are going to have an expert, Saru Jayaraman, and she was at the Golden Globes, so you may recognize her name, but she is an activist for the Restaurant Workers of America, and she's going to come on and talk about the real world behind the scenes, this kind of harassment, discrimination, and yes, indeed, assault that happens on a daily basis in restaurants. We are going to have Jen Ag, who is a restaurant owner, talk about that as well and her work in this area. And then we're going to finish with a Harvard expert on how to correct the workplace for the 21st century, what we're doing wrong, why training really doesn't work, and how we can adjust our workplace behavior in a real way, a meaningful way, and a way that really could work, rather than just looking at videos and sitting in conference rooms and wagging our fingers at one another about how we should behave.
A workplace such as a restaurant or a small machine shop in a town can have a very strong policy in the employee handbook talking about sexual harassment. But is anybody going to do anything about it? And that really is the question of where do you go? Often that policy will tell you to go to your supervisor, and it may be the supervisor who is causing the problem. We've certainly heard that many, many times in these stories. So I'm interested in because there does seem to be a not only a cultural but also a class shift in these issues, because we are reporting on the big stars, and yet there's women who go to work every single solitary day and it isn't safe.
That's right. And there's also a generational, I hate to say it, I hate to use the word divide, but there does seem to be a bit of a generational divide. You're absolutely right. Study after study shows that the handbook and the training and the policy really doesn't guard against sexual harassment and abuse in the workplace. Of course, it's good to have it, but what it really does is protect the company, big and small, from a lawsuit. Because then they say, look, we have this policy in place. Clearly, we were doing the right thing. The real solution is to have more women in positions of power in the workplace, and decent men, of course. Decent men, of course. I mean, when we get to the family hour, which will be later in the week and hosted by Manoush Marodi, the conversations about how to raise our children to not be victims and not be perpetrators is a lot of the way to correct the problem going forward. But in the present moment, we have to figure out a way around the problem that doesn't just involve training and handbooks. As you say, Joe, the handbook policy doesn't do you any good if your supervisor is the perpetrator, because then where do you go in a company of 25 people? So we're going to talk very concretely with this expert from Harvard who has done some very excellent studies around the country and actually done some workouts in companies that have been successful in turning their problems around. And there are ways to do it that don't involve a lot of, dreary, boring training sessions and actually get results.
The other thing, too, here is that, and I know you're doing this, an episode on this, about the idea of the consequences of all of this. And this is really where your head can hurt, because it's hard to understand why some, as simple as, and I think it's a line actually in the press materials for your series, of Senator Al Franken resigns and Donald Trump is president. Okay, figure that out.
Is that the question, Joe?
Well, I mean, what is good for someone may not be good for someone else. I'm interested in how we then move forward in those corrections and have all people created equally, both men and women in the workforce, and who are out, that they have some consequences to what they have gone through.
Well, I'm terribly, terribly interested in corrections. I was a criminal defense attorney for years before I became a journalist. I worry tremendously about equality in our corrections process, and I don't worry about it just as applied to African-American men who are overwhelmingly and disproportionately subject to our corrections system. That's where I put most of my energy. But now that Me Too is happening, I do look at precisely the example you raised, the Al Franken, Donald Trump dichotomy. I think dichotomy is a fair word.
Yes.
So we do have to ask ourselves, what will be the correctional outcome of this Me Too avalanche? And will we see fair proportionality in the end? At the same time, the victims need to be considered. And our system, Joe, does not contemplate the victims. If you read the Constitution, it is about the defendant. So if we're talking about criminal activity, in many of these cases we are, the victim is not represented in a court of law. It's about the state and the defendant. The victim does not come into play unless you're in a civil case. So it's a very, very painful and difficult conversation we're going to have about the correctional process.
Okay. Well, we just lost Jamie, so my apologies for that. But Beyond Me Too is 4 one-hour conversations focused on what we need to do as a society to remedy widespread sexual harassment. The series will air on WAMC January 23rd through the 26th. Our dates are right. They're running it the night before, but we're going to be airing it the next morning. It's January 23rd through the 26th at 11 a.m. during the roundtable next week. We'll be back. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.